The fatal sin of fading down, Anthrax, because I have the man himself on the line. Fathers, brothers, son, fathers, brothers and sons surviving anguish, abandonment, and Anthrax, delighted to be joining me live on the line from somewhere in the States. I'm not sure if he's West Coast, East Coast, or hiding in the middle. Frank Bellow. Frank, good afternoon from us. Good morning to you.
Hi, how are you? I'm coming from the wonderful city of, I'm in New Jersey. I'm playing Mohegan's, or Anthrax is playing Mohegan's Sun tonight. It's a casino. We're playing Mohegan's Sun Arena. So it's what I'm hearing is everybody's abuzz in this place from this package coming into. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, absolutely. Who else is in the package with you then that's heading over there tonight?
We have our friends Black Label Society and Exodus.
Wow.
So it's a really good package. it's a really good punch in your face. This is going to be one of the bigger shows on the tour, so they're expecting a lot of people to come into the casino and spend a lot of money.
Well, that's always the good thing. I mean, thinking about it, I mean, spreading the disease, 1985, we were all a lot younger. We all had, some of us had hair, some of us haven't got any hair anymore. I mean, that's almost, it's amazing that we're all sort of kind of still standing and whatever. And I know you've called the book Surviving Anguish, Abandonment, and Anthrax. We're not going to make it a rock and roll sort of casualty story, but isn't it amazing that the bands that the people thought were going to be here for 3 minutes are still around and still touring?
Yeah, for me, look, it's really hard for me to understand because I'm only 29 years old.
Yeah, true.
It's been a great ride, and this whole with my book, I'm finding there's a lot of great conversations. A lot of people are coming up to me because we do meet and greets on this tour, and so many people have gotten my book, and I'll tell you, the feedback is so fulfilling because, we have all the great rock and roll stories in it, and us, Metallica, or Pantera, all the great stuff that I've grown up with, all my friends in these big bands and stuff. But we're talking about some serious subjects like abandonment. Mm. Like when I grew up, my dad took off when I was 10 years old. A family of five, I was the oldest. My brother, Anthony, rest his soul, he was 6 months old. So, it really is about when you get beat down in life, where you can get slapped down on the floor, you have to pick yourself up and you have to brush yourself off and you have to move on with your life and make your best life. And it's almost become, the feedback I'm getting, it's become a self-help book and making people feel good about their lives. And they're all saying, look, if Frank can do it, then I can do it. I'm getting so much of that. I can't tell you, I did not expect it. Because all I did was tell my story.
Yeah.
This is just my story. And then we have the other issue with loss. My brother, who was murdered, my brother Anthony, was murdered at 23 years old. How I dealt with all that stuff. People are coming to me with their loss and how they said by reading my story, it's helping them deal with their story in their life about loss that they've had. It's really connecting on a whole different play right now, which I'm really loving. I didn't get that. I was just telling my story, but it's so fulfilling that this book is actually helping people now. So it's got a whole second life, this book. It's kind of cool to see. My publisher's very happy. So it's everybody's really psyched about it.
Yeah, the thing is, because people go, Metallica, Anthrax, and the whole thing. But there's an intelligence, you've been doing it for a while. There's an intelligence behind it. And people, metal fans are unlike any other fans in the world. And they're loyal and they stick with you. They don't care if you go off and you do.
Absolutely.
And so they get to know you in a way that, with the greatest respect, perhaps other genres don't. And they feel. How many times have you said, I met, my wife or whatever, or we played this and it was at a concert, or maybe we had this in the car, or we had this at a house party, etc. And you provide the soundtrack to people's lives. And therefore, when you come out and you do something that isn't, we were backstage and Nikki Sixx said, no, not for me, it's too much. It's a question. But when you come out and you're honest, of course you're going to connect with your fan base because they already have connected with you.
Absolutely. And that's a great point. I take pride in the fact that I'm close with fans. I don't treat myself like anything that I'm not. I'm just Frank. I'm a musician. Look, I work hard, but at the same time, there's a lot of luck involved. But I do work hard, and that's the whole thing. And to talk to my, with our fans and my fans one-on-one, that's very fulfilling for me. And I continue to want to do it because it's only the right thing to do. Why not? Mm-hmm. You have this, I feel like we're on this journey together. I don't see it like Frank's in a band and you're here. No, I feel like we're on this journey together. Let's talk about it and let's have some fun with it while we're doing it and listen to some great music. That's the idea.
And also, it would have been really easy. And we normally hear these stories coming out of sport. You know, he was going to get on the wrong side of the tracks of his life, but then he went into boxing or pro football or something. But with you, it's music. Yeah. You know, it's the bass, and it would have been really easy for you to go, okay, this is absolute SHI, whatever, and my life is. Yeah. I want some payback. But you channeled this in a way, and used it. And again, that's why I think people are picking up on it so much.
I agree with you. You know, and it is that choice. You know, when I grew up in the Bronx, New York. And look, you could take choose your path, right? I had really nobody to look up to, and really my heroes were musicians. And I saw Kiss, and I said, man, I want to do that. That makes me feel better. You know, and it just all took off from there. So I was very lucky to have music in my butt. It was the best outlet I could ever dream possible. That made me feel better by playing music and making people. And then when I started to write songs, I saw the reaction people got. I thought it was really great that it made people feel good. So that was very, very important. It's still very, very important to me because we're able to do something that makes people, you know, get away from their lives for an hour and a half. You know, even tonight, like the show tonight, it's very important to me that people come out, they're spending their hard-earned money, and really, I want to give 115%. I'm leaving it all on the stage. It's still so important to me that everybody is satisfied and gets that hour and a half, just away from their lives and just let's go on this thing together and have some fun.
Also, you look at the fact that, you know, you've had the issues with, you know, your father basically heading out and you know, the tragic murder of your brother. And of course, you became a father yourself. And that's a total game changer as well, isn't it? I mean, that just spins the whole thing. And you ask yourself, what kind of dad am I going to be? You know, how do I live my life normally? Because I'm this international, you know, musician, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, that's why I waited. Remember, I started in the band at 17 years old. So I've been touring forever. So my wife and I'm going to be married 25 years in July. So we waited a while before we had our son. I was 39 before we had our son.
Yeah.
And my son is now 16. And you know what? There was a reason for that because I wanted to make sure that I can control the times I'm home, which I can, you know, thankfully do now, and make sure I can be the best dad I can be. And that's the only thing that's important to me, honestly. I make a living playing music. I'm thankful for that. But the biggest mission in my life is absolutely being the best dad because of what happened as I was growing up. I would never, my whole plight in my life was, I will never let this happen to my son. Mm. And it still means everything to me to be the best. And look, I try, you know, fail at some things, you know, I just tried it my very hardest to be the best dad I possibly can.
Married for that period of time, I kind of get the feeling that being married in the rock world is kind of like dog years. You know, one year in the rock year is like 7 years in anybody else's thing.
Yeah, you know, the rock world is like a candy store. Let's face it. You know, it attracts a lot of people. But maybe the way I grew up and how I saw the other side of it and how my mother was so hurt for my dad taking off like that. I was always a committed guy. I was always committed to one girl, and then, so all that stuff. It would, for me, it would just be in the way of my music writing, and I don't want to get anything between me and my music. And that's just the truth. That's a part of it that doesn't fascinate me at all. I just watch it all happen, and I chuckle at it. But I said, that would be wasting my time. I could be writing a great riff right now. And it really is important to me.
The book's called Fathers, Brothers, and Sons. I mean, your family is a thing of blood, but it's also, you know, friends can become family. Friends can become close with you.
Yeah,
and obviously you spend, it's almost like a social experiment, isn't it? You know, we get, you know, five guys or six guys or whatever, and we put them in a band and we throw them around the world and we see what comes out. And people, some people deal with it and some people don't talk to each other until they come into the studio. And some people completely, you hate each other, but you know, talk about standing the test of time.
Well, look, in a band for all these years. Anthrax, we were just talking about it last night. With over 40 years, this thing's been going. And it's like growing up. It really is like going, I equate it to being in a family. You know, you have your ups and downs. You know, you have your arguments. You settle those arguments. If you're smart, you know, because at the end of the day, you got to remember it is a business. And this business works. It's been working very, very well for a long time. So if you're smart about it, you'll get over your little ego, whatever the hell it is you're having, whatever kind of mood you're in that day, and you'll think it out. I think we have some rational people. We all learn how to be rational people because it's a growing. Look, I grew up, I see these people in this band more than I do my family, and that's the way it's always been. So they, in essence, they become my family. So, and like every family, you're going to have your ups and downs in your relationships, and, you know, and things happen to smooth out. You just make them smooth out because you just say, look, we still have this great thing going. Why would you ruin that? And that's why, that's what we're doing here right now. We're having fun.
What was it like though? Because, you know, one minute you're the roadie and the next minute MTV grabs you and you're, you know, I mean, I use the intro for Matt because my second name is Giles. It's Brown. My surname is Brown. So therefore I use Madhouse as an intro. You know, it's time for your medication, Mr. Brown. and we play that on a regular basis.
You know, that whole thing with Tom Brown is my friend, our friend from way back in the day. I mean, talking about when I was still teching or roadieing, whatever you want to call it, in Anthrax. And look, I use that word a roadie. I was not good at being a roadie. I sucked. I mean, I'm going to be really honest with you. I was barely able to change a string. I was really a friend of these guys that was hanging out. And we just had a good time together, and I wasn't playing in the band at the time, so it just made sense for me to help them. And crossing over into that was, when the audition came up, it was a no-brainer because I knew the songs already, and I was friends with the guy, so it all worked out, and just, you know, that's all history after that.
So what's your hope then? I mean, the book itself, was this a lockdown project or did you have to I'll take some time off and I need to get this out and I need to put it out there so people can come back at it?
Well, my co-writer and friend, Joel McIver, who's awesome in every way. He's a great writer. He's a best-selling writer. He's just awesome.
I've interviewed Joel a couple of times. He's great fun. Yeah.
Yeah, he's great fun. He's just a good, another great dad. I have to say that. I enjoy what he does. He goes above and beyond for his children, which I love. I just think we had this time. We've been talking about it. We have been talking about it for a while, but my schedule and his schedule didn't click. You know what? When COVID hit, I remember being in my basement and Joel, I don't know if I called him or he called me up. It was one or the other, and it was just, yeah, this is time. And we both were open, literally, because that was a lock. When there was a lockdown, it was everything. And then, you know, we started the week after that. We started our sessions, and it was via internet, Zoom. And I'll tell you, there were times where I had a bottle of vodka next to me, or whiskey, and a big box of tissues, because some of the stuff that was coming out was just I didn't expect it, because I thought I had compartmentalized it up all to my head, and I, after therapy, and all of a sudden, all this stuff came out again, and that's what led to the next section of this, which is the EP that I wrote, because after the book, I had all these emotions that I thought I had put away and stored away through therapy, and all of a sudden, when I confronted them again for my book, they were right there in front of me, and you know what? I couldn't shake them. So when I'm in a bad way mentally, I pick up a guitar. And I start writing, and I got them out, and that's what you hear with the 3-song EP I put out.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the way, you know, your therapy or how you get out and express it in a creative way better than bottling it up, and that's the or letting it get to you and then suddenly exploding, and then you do get trouble.
Right, and that's, you know, that's how I avoid trouble, because you have to release that valve, otherwise that valve is going to blow. So that my release is always picking up the guitar, and I'm thankful for that, because it's been really, that's another great outlet when I pick up a guitar and just get whatever is the angst inside of me somehow comes out, and I'm really thankful for that.
You mentioned that you went to see Kiss and you thought, I want to do this. And of course, the gentleman who wrote the foreword for this book is none other than the man himself, Gene. So that must have been, I mean, How, I mean, obviously you guys have known each other for a while. How, I mean, just say, hey, Gene, I've written a book. Do you want to put some words together? Because he's got the lifestyle thing, hasn't he? He's got the lifestyle thing down pat as well. He doesn't muck around.
He still inspires me. To this day, he inspires me. Excuse me. Gene, he's been a father figure for me. I mean, not unbeknownst to him, but he's done it. He's done it for me. He's shown me the way. And you have to understand, for me, at Fort, a guy who, I used to go downtown in Manhattan. It's in the book. Me and my friends, we used to go downtown. We knew where their management was when I was young. So this is in the 70s. So we went down from the Bronx. We take the bus downtown to Manhattan and wait in front of their, I mean, I'm talking about freezing conditions in February, freezing our butts off, waiting outside for hours, waiting for KISS to have a meeting because we had an inside. My friend Tom had an inside person inside their management that gives, all right, they're coming in for a meeting today. You guys can meet them if you want to come down. And we wait outside in the freezing weather, and we wait for hours until these guys in with really long hair, these 6 foot plus guys, because we didn't know what they looked like. We didn't know what they looked. In those days, you didn't know what KISS looked like. So we just wait for them. And you know what? We met them. I swear to God, it was like every week. It was awesome. It was an awesome thing. And so for me to turn this over from that 14-year-old boy to have Gene Simmons write the foreword to my book is a really big deal to me.
Like I said, rock fans are unlike anybody else and will spend hours queuing in Manhattan in February to see them. The book...
It's an addiction.
Huh?
It's an addiction.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, trust me, there are worse ones to have.
Absolutely. I totally agree. It's a good one. We're all part of a family. The metal community, the rock and roll community is one big, amazing family. We all wear our uniforms, our black leather and jeans and all that stuff. And it's a great thing that it's a privilege to still be a part of.
If there's a high watermark, because the book is full of things that would put other people down and they wouldn't be able to come back up, the murder, the abandonment, the whole thing. But just pick me out a moment where you've looked across, it can be concert related, it can be anything else you want to be, that you looked across and went, this is why I do this. Is it a concert? Is it meeting the meet and greets? Is it the fact that you're still standing? What do you think, I'll put you on the spot here, Frank, but I mean, if there's a moment you go back and go, yeah, this is why I do what I do, and this is why I am who I am.
Honestly, every night I step on a stage, this is why I do what I do. And, you know, and the reaction from the first note we play, that people think about it. This is 40 years plus coming into a thrash metal band is still around 42 years. I tell you, we're stronger than ever. Well, our numbers are going up instead of down. We see the crowds turning over. We're getting younger fans coming to these shows. So along with our own fans who have been around with us for a long time, they're bringing their children and their kids. And believe me, I see it in the crowd every night. Our audience is getting bigger. You would never think that, but that's what sustains you. And that's what keeps you going. And so for me, that's the fulfilling part. And it's like, wow, we're doing this. And there's a whole new generation that's finding out about Anthrax and loving it. And that's the reward right there. It's the drug. Yeah. This thing's a drug. Yeah. You can't stop doing it. And with my book, I couldn't. I'm telling you about this ride this journey I've been on while in Anthrax, you know. And it's there's peaks and valleys. Look, like everybody else's life. But the great thing with what's happening with this book, and I'm so proud of it because it's helping people with their lives. And I didn't see that coming by telling my story. And that's the most fulfilling thing about this all.
The thing is, you see, you connect with people that millisecond before when you run on a stage and before everybody looks around you, and then something hits the poof, and there's a connection in live music. And the reason that young people are getting it is because it's live and you're great live, and very few and so therefore you just put it out as is. You have the connection, and people go, yeah, that's what I feel.
That's exactly it. You hit the right word, connection. It's about connection from when we step onto the stage, when I look in people's eyes and they're singing whatever song, Caught in a Mosh, and they're singing lyrics better than me. You know, there's nothing more fulfilling than that. Yeah. I love that. And that's what gets you going for the next day, because every audience is different. And it really is. And in this day, when 2023, and, you know, Anthrax is a relevant, thriving band. And I can't be more proud of that and excited for the future. So it's a really good thing. And also my solo work. people are really taking to the solo work I'm doing. They like what I'm doing because I wouldn't write these songs for Anthrax. There's a completely different thing that I'm doing with my voice. I'm singing on. So for me, it's very fulfilling. And, you know, the future is bright. You know, that's what we're trying to. Got to keep it positive, man.
Absolutely. The book is called Fathers, Brothers and Sons, Surviving Anguish, Abandonment and Anthrax. It's by Frank Bello, who is speaking today. Frank, any plans to come to Spain soon?
You know what? We have our wardrobe girl is from Spain. She's from Barcelona.
Uh-huh.
I would love to, and I love it there, obviously. Our Scott's guitar tech is from Barcelona also. So we have Spain in our family.
Okay.
So it's a really wonderful thing, and we can't wait to get back there. Believe me, we're ready to go. It's just time and making it all happen. You know, hopefully things are from around the world get better, and people stay healthy and all that good stuff, you know?
Well, listen, Frank, thank you so much for your time today. I know you're busy. Go out and absolutely slay them tonight in the best possible way up there.
I will do my best.
And we can't wait to see you over here in Spain. And congratulations on the book, because it's absolutely outstanding. The book is called Fathers, Brothers,
and Sons. I really appreciate it.
Surviving Anguish, Abandonment, and Anthrax. It's by Frank Bello. Frank, thank you so much for your time today.
Cheers, my friend. Have a great day, okay?
From Anthrax, Indians.